Hello, and welcome to more of our continuing coverage of the Moon Tower Comedy Fest. I'm Bo, as you can probably tell by the timbre of my voice. And I am privileged enough, insert your own privileged joke here, to be talking to W. Kamau Bell, erstwhile host of Totally Biased. Kamau, thanks for coming out and chatting with us.
Thanks. I think it's the first time I've heard the word erstwhile attached to my name, so this is already going well.
All right.
And I'll do the privilege joke. You're white privileged enough to talk to W. Kamau Bell.
I am.
Yeah,
it's so great.
Can't leave that low fruit hanging.
I get so many privileges, but yeah, that's one of the best. Totally Biased has unfortunately gone the way of the dodo, which breaks my heart.
But much like the dodo, people are still talking about it. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, maybe someday you'll be a catchphrase about extinction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, much like the Totally Biased show. Yeah, no, it's it was a bummer to have it canceled, but like happens, I sort of, like, there was a point in which I thought, I think this isn't going the way they want it to. So that was the hardest part for me, was knowing it was coming, or was suspecting that it was coming.
Do you think that it was just that you weren't a proper fit with FX, or?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of things. I mean, first of all, the blame has to fall on me, because that's how blame falls.
Well, yeah.
On the person whose name is on the show. So ultimately, I think that it was a steep learning curve to sort of host a daily show like that. Like, we were once a week, and I feel like I sort of started to get once a week down by the time we got to the end of that cycle. And then daily, it was just like, I mean, it's just a meat grinder.
I know. That's, when they were talking about Colbert taking the seat over at the Tonight Show, or not the Tonight Show, but Late Night. A lot of people came up, and I was like, I don't think you understand.
People don't understand how TV works, and they think they're doing you a favor by saying you should get that job. I'm like, do you know how much work that is?
Yeah.
Or like Chris Rock should get that job.
Chris Rock doesn't want that job.
He doesn't want that job.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, oh, well, Jon Stewart should do it. And he's like, Jon Stewart's really happy right now.
He's got a job, and he knows what to do there, and he's like,
And no, I think Colbert is one of the best choices, personally.
Yeah, I get why they picked Colbert, because people sort of suggested a lot of different people. My name came up on a bunch of different lists.
Really?
I was like,
cool.
I mean, just, it's the internet. Everything. Everybody says everything.
It's nice to hear, nonetheless.
But it was like, I was always like, well, they're not, it's CBS. They have to make sure they have the right person who can take the baton from CSI and NCIS and whatever other shows they have.
Yes, CBS, the most non-discriminating audience on network.
Yeah, they also, in a very sort of like, a very white conservative audience.
Oh, yeah.
People were like, this is Mike and Molly, which is a fine show, but it's just, we all know Melissa McCarthy is funnier on than she's on.
Absolutely, when she's being scatological.
Yeah, when she's headlining a movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it's just the thing, like, there's nothing wrong with their programming. I'm not trying to put down, but it was clear to me, like, they're not going to pick an edgy choice. Like, people were suggesting edgy choices, and it's and to me it was like, I mean, I think if they were going to go diversity higher, which I'll just say that.
Which would be great.
I felt like Aisha Tyler could do a great job of that.
I think she's definitely like why she doesn't have something more along the lines of Chelsea Lately is beyond me, because I think she's amazing.
She's one of the hardest working people in show business. She's got she's got three TV shows.
Oh, right.
No, wait, so she's got Archer.
She's got Archer. She's got The Talk.
And she has Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Sure.
And she got the podcast. And I just felt like, and she already works for CBS because of the Talk. I just thought.
And she's got all those video games to play.
And also, white people love her.
That's true. We do. We really do.
If you're going to be on CBS, you need to be beloved by white people.
Sure.
And I thought that she would have been. And she's also interesting. She's a really funny, interesting. She's not boring in any way. So.
Yeah, no.
But, or.
And
actually,
she's gargantuan. Yeah, I love that about her.
Yeah, she's like, we look each other eye to eye. I actually suggested Wayne Brady at one point, because I was like,
I can see that.
He has that, white people love him.
I think that Colbert may have just like the right amount of surreptitious, like, I can stick it to you, and so
it certainly is interesting.
Joke.
It certainly made everybody go, what?
Yeah.
Which is what, I mean, that's the gig. You want it to be interesting before the show starts, because it's going to start for a year.
Yeah, I mean, if they had moved Ferguson in, nobody would be.
There's no news story there. Although I feel bad for him.
I do, in a way.
As hard as it is to feel bad for a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel millionaire bad. I don't feel actual bad. I feel millionaire bad.
Yeah, punk rocker made millionaires is not a bad
I mean, he was a millionaire before he got that show. I mean, he was on Drew Carey for a long time.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, definitely. But once again, I think he's one of those guys that's like totally in his wheelhouse and kind of happy where he is. So.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, you know, I don't know
that,
how much
that wheel keeps turns much quicker now than it used to. Johnny
sure.
Carson had the job for almost 30 years, and now that wheel, who knows what happens next?
Yeah, and I mean, they, you know, they're definitely looking for somebody to set the new parameter. So I think Colbert might be there.
And as I know, somebody's going to fail. As I know from personal experience, and so somebody else will have to be,
yes.
You know, so the wheel will keep turning.
We're all standing around like vultures.
Yeah, somebody's going to fail.
So, you know, with totally biased, unfortunately behind you, what have you been up to lately?
I've been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
I sort of put together a new stand-up act, and I'm out there now, like, touring, and so my goal is at the end of the year to record a comedy special, like a proper, I've never really done a proper comedy.
Really? I guess that's true. I mean,
I have two CDs out.
I don't have the Comedy Central anymore, so I don't see as many specials as I used to.
I have one of the most acclaimed comedy specials of all time.
I'll be sure to plug it.
It's called Bring the Pain. Are you familiar with it? So I want to record a proper comedy special, so I'm happy to be on the road right now working on the material, so...
Are you doing are you finding that Totally Biased is bringing you into better markets, you know, the higher...
Yeah, absolutely. There's people who... I mean, I was always an underground thing, so I would go to cities and really have to work hard to get people to come out, but I can get people to come out, but now people certainly... People are actually coming in a way to have, like, a post-Totally Biased morning. Like, they want to come and talk to me, and there's a lot of hugging that goes around generally.
I do miss the topical thing with the whole Clive and Bundy thing going on. I mean, I loved... Stewart did that awesome takedown, but it was kind of a takedown of Hannity and
not so much
of him.
Yeah, he Stewart has that... As that Fox News thing,
right.
I sort of don't have that same level of, like, for me, I mean, for me, like I just tweeted this morning, I'll just, tweet alert, that the one thing about the Clive and Bundy thing, there's a lot of things about it, but one thing about it that I find interesting is that many white liberals love to be excited about how racist he is,
right?
Because it provides cover for them.
Oh, dude, yeah. No, my Facebook page blew up, and I was like, you knew this guy was racist yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because he's got all the freaks with guns around him.
That's
generally a sign.
Yeah. But it's like a funny, like, I tweeted today, people, like, many white liberals are like, he's so racist, that is so racist. Can I touch your hair? That guy is so racist.
Oh,
that's the most racist.
Oh, microtransgressions.
Yeah, you're so hubrisy. Your mixed race daughter is so adorable. Can I take a picture of her?
Oh.
Yes, perfect stranger. You can do that.
My God.
So I think that, like, when people get so excited to call someone racist, sometimes I get like, yeah, no, but he's such a run-of-the-mill boring racist. There's nothing to me. It's like,
more impressive when you're getting up in the morning and saying it to the guy in the mirror.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, the rancher who's surrounded by all the guns and gives it. That guy's a racist. That guy's generally a racist. But yeah, that's not a no newsflash there.
You know, all those bed sheets in your closet. Mm-hmm, I'm beginning to jump to some conclusions.
No, it's really funny. And then also, I mean, although I have to say this, I give Clive and Bundy. Clivin Bundy. I mean, that's
he was either going to have a standoff with the government, or he was going to be a serial killer.
Yeah,
one
exactly,
of the two.
Yeah,
he's
going
to end up on the evening news.
It's like a character from Deadwood. but yeah, like, so just the idea that, like, that sentence, what is it? I'm trying to remember it. And let me tell you one more thing I know about the Negro.
Whenever you have the definite article in front of the word Negro, you're
one,
fucked.
Yeah, I think it's one more thing I think he said. I wrote it down because it's so awesome. One more thing I know about the Negro, because I just love the fact that he knows a lot of
yes,
things.
Exactly.
I got a lot of
of wisdom of the African-American experience.
I got a lot of Negro knowledge. Let me tell you one more piece of Negro knowledge. And, I mean, that's one of the greatest sentences in the history of racism. I think it's just like, I mean... The last time you could say that and not be racist was, like, Martin Luther King in 63.
I think that... Didn't the guy that, like, Sidney Poitier slapped in the heat of the night, I believe that's what he was saying?
Yes. Let me tell you one more thing. I think that is such a great... It's such a great, you know... And then the other thing I love is about that logic that he had, that other people... That a lot of... Like, even... Michelle Bachmann had this thing of a logic where that black people were better during slavery.
Because
slavery kept the family together.
It's such
together.
A carefree lifestyle.
Yeah, and it kept the family together. And I feel like what you're what you're failing to recognize when you say that slavery kept the family together is that black family together, is that during slavery we were property.
Yeah.
So we weren't keeping they weren't keeping the family together because they liked them. It was convenient to keep your property in one place.
And to be fair, it split a couple of families apart. Just a few.
Yeah, there was definitely some. Well, it's funny to me, like, saying slavery kept the family together is like saying, it's like me saying, I keep my TV and my DVD player together. Like, it's just like, yeah, I do. That's how really? They work. That's how they work together.
Yeah, exactly.
I own those things, and I like them to be next to each other because they work better that way.
I'm looking to upgrade into some Blu-ray Negroes.
Yeah, oh, they're the best.
The clarity in the cotton fields is like, fucking amazing.
I can't believe how much you can see in the Blu-ray Negro.
Since we are a podcast-heavy site, you do a podcast yourself, and not only with yourself, but with Living Colors Vernon Reid. I'm a big fan of. You know, I'm an ex-hardcore kid, so
yeah,
hey, these guys sound like the Bad Brains. I want to listen to them.
Yeah, I still
got my yellow vinyl copy of I think their second breakout LP. So.
I actually saw them tour with Bad Brains.
Nice.
In the late 90s, I guess it was. Yeah, we're having the late 90s, but... Or no, I guess it was the early 90s.
Before the internet, before I figured out how crazy HR is.
Yeah, he's so crazy they made a documentary about him that they can't release. Well, you can't even release the documentary about the dude.
That's kind of sewer crazy.
Yeah, that's a special level. But, Vernon, I was certainly Living Color with my band, like, back in the day. That was the first time I was like, oh, this music is talking to me.
Right.
Okay, all right. Like, I was not, as much as I grew up during the era of hip-hop just didn't, I didn't have that inner city story, and so hip-hop didn't... It's not that I didn't like it, but it didn't relate to me, and Living Color felt like it was talking to me, you know, and so that was my band, and I saw them, you know, I've probably seen them, Living Color and Fishbone are the bands I've probably seen
two times
in life.
Yeah, we had a band in Austin called Slackface that was kind of our version of Fishbone, and Fishbone used to come here and play quite a lot. And
yes.
I remember once I was over at one of their houses, and he picked up the phone and was like, "Yo, Bone, this is Face." I was like, "That's so cool."
No, it was and then I met Vernon's very active on Twitter, and I met him through Twitter.
Nice.
And he's a huge podcast fan. He listens to a ton of podcasts.
Oh well, oneofus.net, Vernon.
He will check it out if I tell him about it.
Please do.
He's a huge eater of podcasts, and so I was like, you should have a podcast. He's also a really interesting dude, and has a lot of thoughts about. I sort of felt like, you know how Henry Rollins managed to figure out a way to talk so much that he was allowed to stop doing music?
Yeah. he figured out that punk rock retirement plan
motherfucker. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He just sort of, he played music and shouted over it. Then at some point he put down the guitar and just kept shouting. or he had his guitar
piece. Yeah, no, I remember like the early days when his stuff was, you know, kind of this, you know, soi-disant poetry. Mm-hmm. And then after a while he was like, you know, instead of reading poems, let me tell you the weird shit that's been happening.
Let me tell you where I was last summer.
Yeah.
And I've seen Rollins do that a lot, and I think he's very good at it.
Oh no, I've said five or six times.
Yeah, me too. He brilliant. Inspired me as a stand-up because I was like, it's just, he's just talking.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, that's what I want to get to. It's like, just where it's just, I mean, I want to be funny, but I just want to be able to feel like I'm talking.
I like, you know, and last night I was checking out, Andy Kindler and Dana Gould and all these guys, but Nick Thune was the last guy, and he braved it out because it was short sets, but he did basically one long form joke.
And
I was, it was worth the payoff, and
yeah,
and
no, that's very funny. When you dig into one long form joke in a short set, you're really like,
that's ballsy.
Yeah, it's ballsy. But, and so I feel like Vernon could have that. He could have that same sort of Rollins-esque career, but I just feel like I'm the one who's getting him to talk. He already talks. I'm just getting him to, like, let's record it. So during Totally Biased, we sort of shut it down because he's super busy in Totally Biased when it was daily. I just couldn't keep up with it.
Sure.
We've been talking recently about starting the whole thing up again. We just want to get it. It was very semi-regular. And so my thing is that if we're going to do it again, we have to do it. It's got to be weekly.
I get to feel uncomfortable saying this.
What an auspicious day to say this title.
Yes, it's the Field Negro Guide to Arts and Culture.
That's it.
Hey, I got it all.
That's a great title. I
love it. You guys got to have a book with that name.
It just feels like
one of the bird guide books.
Exactly. It's definitely and it was a name we came up with together, which was good.
Awesome.
I think I had the field negro part, and he had guide to arts and culture.
Nice.
Because he's a very sophisticated urbane human being. So
what's the main take on it as far as you know, what could a listener expect?
I mean, it's really like it's the reason why I like Vernon, and the reason why I think his music inspired me so much is because we're sort of two black guys who were blurreds before there was a name for that. You know,
there's right.
Blurred being black nerd.
Yes, yes.
But before there was a name for that thing, we were just sort of known as being uncool. You know. Now Vernon has, of course, got to be way cool because he's in a rock and roll band.
He shreds like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. He's in a rock and roll band. He's a great electric guitar player, one of the best of all time, and he has 2 Grammys. So
right.
He worked his way into cool.
No.
Me, we're still the jury's still out. But he certainly grew up as being sort of a black outsider, and so I was in that same position. So it's really just a freewheeling take on pop culture and events. A lot of them relate to black culture, but not necessarily all. He's a huge sci-fi geek, and so we talk about a lot of stuff. And just,
oh, nice.
It's really just a, yeah.
You're speaking to the target media.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
You know, a lot of stuff. Sometimes I'm like, we're talking about superhero movies way too much. Because we have a lot of fans of this podcast who like the sort of like the black culture political side of it.
Sure.
And then, but we'll go off on like a 45-minute rant on the movie Thor. And it's just like, I'm like, we've lost all the black women.
You know, there's some crossover. I'm lying. There's no crossover.
Yeah, no. Black women of a certain age are tuning out now with all the Thor talk. I feel like we need to label them like this is a black episode. This is a Thor episode. Or this is a sci-fi movie episode.
I think in the future somebody's going to come up with like the app that you can just filter that stuff out with your podcast. It's going to make everybody.
You
happy.
Know, WNYC. Speaking of geek things, has a new app out. Where it's funny, it's very New York. Like, so if you're getting on the subway and you want to listen to something on your podcast, on your thing, and you don't know what you're going to listen to, WNYC app, you just click subjects that you're interested in.
Oh, wow.
From their whole, and they have the whole NPR library of things. And how much time you're going to be underground. It actually says how much time you're going to be underground. And so you go, I'm going to be underground for 20 minutes. And I like music and arts and politics. And they will just play us a list. They will just play a bunch of podcasts of snippets of those subjects.
We wouldn't have that, but if you can add in how long you'll be stuck in traffic.
You can define underground as however you want to define underground.
Exactly.
You know, stuck in traffic or, you know, hiding out from your wife, whatever underground means.
So you're saying Vernon's the sci-fi superhero geek. Is there anything that you're particularly geeky about yourself? Or
I mean, Vernon's a way bigger sci-fi geek than I am. He gives me shit all the time about the fact that I haven't seen Blade Runner.
Oh my god! See everybody.
I wasn't at that level of it. I just didn't. I wasn't that. I was like as a kid, I was a TV like comedy geek. Like I was really so like that. And I'm a huge superhero fan. Although as a kid I was a comic book collector.
Same here, obviously.
Yeah.
What was your poison?
My poison was all the Spider-Man, which they had like 4 when I was like, it was like, this is starting to feel like a rip-off Marvel.
It wasn't as bad as X-Men, but it nearly got there, especially when they cloned him.
See,
I mean, come on.
X-Men I couldn't do because it was always too many people, and there was always too many.
Right.
You could pick up an X-Men and be like, I don't like any of these people. Bring the other ones back.
It all boils down to Wolverine eventually.
Yeah, well, that was during the era where they realized, I think he's the best one.
Exactly. it's funny because in the original run, he kind of started out as this iconoclast. You know, I don't fit in with the group, and now he beats everything.
I think he needs to be in everything. They sort of have done. But so I was always a Marvel guy. Although I was a big Green Lantern. I was a Green Lantern.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I went back and forth, but definitely bigger Marvel.
I was way bigger Marvel. Like, so I was the Spider-Man, and then Hulk. I think those are the ones I got monthly. Yeah, I think Spider-Man. And then I would dip in on other stuff. But Spider-Man and Hulk were my things.
I read a bunch of obscure crap that is worth nothing now.
Oh, no,
so
yeah.
I'm happy about that.
I'm super mainstream about my comic book taste. I always feel bad when you get into that discussion as an adult because people are like talking about things. They're like, I don't like when it's black and white and nobody has superpowers. I don't have interest.
I wasn't into anything edgy. I was just like, I was the perfect target audience too. We have a toy. Do you want to read this comic book?
Yes,
I do. You have G.I. Joe and Rom Space Knight? Sure, I'm all over that shit.
Rom Space Knight. Yeah, and I was Powerman and Iron Fist. I get obscure too.
Yeah,
Powerman and Iron Fist
man.
Guy. And,
I'm looking forward to the
Moon Knight. I got some Moon Knights.
Really? That was my poison. That's what started me collecting.
I mean, Moon Knight is such a weird kid. I mean, it was
he's Batman Redux, but he's kind of crazy.
I love when you can tell that they were like the other company was like, we need a Batman. Like I love when it's very clear that they're like, we need a guy who does karate too. there's no shame at all. You know.
I really want them to do that old Masters of Kung Fu stuff, but like apparently the Fu Manchu name is owned
by stuff is really.
It's like, come on, man.
You know, it's funny, but it's funny. But I think with superhero movies now, is they all feel so samey to me.
Yeah.
Like, there's just not, like...
Have you seen Captain America?
I saw the first one. I've seen the new one.
The new one's awesome.
Okay.
Captain
America, I was never a Captain America guy for lots of reasons. Let me be honest.
This is, like... You know, I'd say this is the movie that you know, if you have a friend or significant other that is like, nah, I don't like the superhero movies, this one you can take them to because you can appreciate it as like a straight-up spy movie.
Okay,
like, you know, it's kind of like Captain America does the Bourne Identity. And, yeah, it kind of works on
Marvel. Yeah, I just was never into him as a comic book. I never was a fan of...
He's sort of the stodgy guy.
He's a boring guy. And his name is Captain America. I'm not trying to be an infidel, but just it's so on the nose.
You can imply the three K's in the middle of that.
Yeah. It's like Superman. Come on, you're the first one they thought of. I get it. That was they weren't into like, you know, it took them a while to get to Wolverine, you know.
Right.
So I saw the first one. But yeah, like a lot of them like I was excited about the reboot of Spider-Man because I think Sam Raimi was great on the second Spider-Man is one of the greatest superhero movies of all time.
Really, you think so?
I think so.
All right. We'll be reviewing the sequel. I believe we're going to the screening.
I mean the second one with Tobey Maguire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm with you because there's so many sequences in that movie that remind me of like, oh, this is like reading like an old John Romita Spider-Man comic.
It really had an arc of like, you know, it's always good when the superhero like questions his
sure,
and that's all, and that's a big part of Spider-Man's thing is like, do I really want to do this?
We're
going straight geek, and then but then the new one, I like Andrew Garfield a lot, and I was excited about it when I saw the trailer, but the movie was kind of a mess. It felt like they had 140 pages of script, and at some point we just got to cut 20 pages.
I didn't go see it. You know, I'm.
You didn't
I'm
go
just,
see it?
Yeah, I'll tell
You're
you.
You're gonna get mad at me about Blade Runner?
Yes, I'm still entitled to do that by any metric out there.
That's true. I'm good. I'll have to back off of that.
I'm hit to the fact that Peter Parker got bit by a radioactive spider. I don't need, you know, as is...
It's funny, the
Superman reboots.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I get it. He's from Krypton.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, no. But it's funny. It's always funny that they rebooted the origin story. Like, we just did this, like, 10 years ago?
Exactly.
And they did make some changes to it. Like, yeah, they couldn't make that many changes because it still has to... We all sort of understand genetic... It's still some sort of genetic engineering thing. They did make the... web shooters not organic anymore, which I appreciated that, but the movie was kind of a mess. And I had this joke on stage that I do now because I have a joke that the punchline is Bing, the search engine.
Right.
And I go, you know, in the new Spider-Man movie Lost Me, and there's a point in the movie where Peter Parker's like, I got to look that up on the internet, and they go to his computer, and Bing is the search engine.
Right.
And I was like, that's when I was like, nope.
You're the worst superhero ever.
I believe radioactive spider. I believe you got powers transferred to you. I believe you sewed a suit that has intricate webbing on it, even though you've never sewed before. But I don't, boy genius. Don't use Blade. that's where he lost me movie. But yeah, so
at least be using Linux.
You do something. Yeah, go that direction. Don't go Bing. No, you're not. No. Not if you want to find anything.
Apparently, the Amazing Spider-Man is my grandfather.
Exactly.
Bought a new a Vizio laptop.
Whoa.
It's futuristic, son.
That's so funny. Yeah, I think when you can see that level of like corporate brand partnership in a movie, you're just like,
it's getting pretty ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, in Captain America 2, like all the secret agents are driving Chevy Tahoes, and I'm like, no.
Everyone?
That's no.
No, that's not.
Especially the ones with built-in Gatling guns, I'm afraid that's not ever happening.
No, that's not.
I expected to see, like, you know, the logo on the back of one of the helicarriers.
But yeah, I just think there's something. I think I'm really ready for a really edgier R-rated take on a superhero movie.
Yeah,
just or a more low rent, like, you know, because even, and this is heresy. I know that we're supposed to worship at the altar of Christopher Nolan's Batman franchise.
Well, except for the third one, that's a piece of crap. which I will get a lot of complaints about. But
well, no, you're like,
real.
Wait, I'm cheering for the police? I don't think this is exactly.
They set up the, like, at the end of the Dark Knight, they set up, like, oh, the police are after him now, and then, you know,
and then get him, police, get him.
Yeah, you get in there, and they're like, oh no, all the crime's gone away.
Plus, I feel like the other thing about the Batman was is that which I get, Christopher Nolan made a choice. Because the first three, as much as people, it's hard to watch those Tim Burton Batman movies now. You sort of realize that out of time, it's like, this is sort of ridiculous.
You have to really contextualize yourself and make yourself that teenager you were in 1989. Yeah. And go like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, the Christopher Nolan stuff, it was like, I think we'll age better.
Yeah.
But they sort of, by turning him to an armored, like he's like a military device instead of like... I want the guy who actually just learned how to fight and then went on the streets and like swung from rooftops and fought some crime.
I'm waiting for like the detective take, the really smart noir Batman.
And I think luckily, the thing that's kind of cool now is that I do think that is likely to happen because our superhero movies have become our James Bond movies. We're going to keep making these.
There are generations Western, you know. When this generation of you know, 30 and 40 somethings that will go see anything that has a superhero movie in it, regardless of what review it gets, dies out, then it'll go through the same thing as the Western. But we're stuck with this for a long time.
Yeah, no,
so
it's like, no.
Please make some good ones.
I get it. Like, Captain America, like, to me, is like, of all the super, if he could make money off of him.
Yeah.
Like, just off of that lame stick in the mud.
Marvel's making a movie with a raccoon in it.
And they're making an Ant-Man movie.
They're making an Ant-Man
movie.
Which
actually might be the sign of, like, they're starting to go...
They're running wild.
Well, also just a more, like, if you can make... If Ant-Man is successful, then the doors just open wide.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess one last thing I'll touch on before... congratulations. I hear you're about to be a new father.
Yes, I am currently a father, and I'm going to be, I guess, a father again.
Yes, I guess a re-father didn't sound...
I'm being
sound,
re-fathered.
There
I'm
we
being,
go.
No, I'm being re- yeah, no, I have
It's a, like being recycled, but daughter, with more... more poop.
Yeah, much more. My daughter's three, and my wife is pregnant with another one, and we're going to see how that goes. I'm an only child, so to me, making another kid is like a sort of like, why would you do that? Do we have a problem with this one? Is this one not? This one's great. I love this one. Why would you do another one?
Apparently, the idea is to have an emergency backup kid.
Yeah, I guess that's true, because my wife's one of four, so she just...
Oh, my God.
She's a brood. There were twins in there, so like,
oh, okay.
It wasn't like... But yeah, it's like she just pictures like... She liked the idea that when they were kids, they could actually, like, break into teams.
Man, if you have two sets of twins in the role, don't you just kind of walk around and, like, look up skyward and go, really? It could have been the lottery. Yeah. You know, so win a car.
Yeah, so she really likes that. And I'm just like, I just like the fact that I never thought about what television channel to watch.
No.
There was never any sort of, like...
I'm the same way. On the other hand, it's taken me about 40 years to become successfully socialized. So, you know. Yeah. There's some payoff.
Yeah, socialization is over.
But you probably won't have a stand-up comedian daughter. So
no, thank God. No, she's funny, but she's gonna be you're gonna be the person who's funny, but also has a good job and health insurance and benefits. You're not gonna try to make it. You're not gonna try to turn pro. You're gonna be well adjusted. You're
Daddy,
gonna be kind of the well adjusted funny.
Like, Daddy doesn't know if he's got a superhero franchise in him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So,
all right, man. Well, we've
Black Panther pitch, but anyway. Hey, yes.
There you go. Well, we've taken up enough of your time, man. Thank you for being so gracious and sitting down with us. I'm glad your big set last night went well, and
yeah,
hope to see you around at the fest.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.